Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. If you don't know Lisa McCarthy, you're missing out. Lisa is the founding partner and chief strategy officer for Out of the Box Technology. She and her team consult with thousands of accountants and business owners nationwide. They develop solutions related to various Intuit products and services. In addition to being a really smart person who knows everything about Intuit products, Lisa is the author of numerous professional articles. She is a frequent guest speaker at National Franchise Business and Accountant events, and Out of the Box Technology is a valued preferred partner for Service Nation Alliance. What can they do for you? Well, we're about to find out. So Lisa McCarthy, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've got such an interesting background. Give us an overview of your career background and how did you get into our industry?
I started out as a financial analyst. My degree was in finance, my undergrad, and I worked at large corporations like Pepsi-Cola and ADS. And sat in a cubicle and crunched numbers all day. And I woke up one morning and I said, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. And so I left. I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. That was my underlying core value that I decided to pursue. And it was about the time I thought I was going to want to start thinking about having a family. So I thought, well, what better way to do that than to teach? And so I went back to school and got a math degree at University of Michigan. And I did my student teaching in an inner city high school in the math department. So I thought I was going to be a math teacher. And I thought that would be a great way to give back to the world. And so I left a very high paying corporate job to be a student teacher, which was a little stress on my financially on my marriage. And so I answered an ad to computerize this woman's accounting. She had a small business. And so I was trying to make some money on the side while I was teaching. And she hired me on the spot. And I left that meeting and I went immediately to Egghead Software. Younger folks won't know, but that was how people sold software back in the day in the 90s is you actually had a retail store that you would walk in and pick the box up off the shelf and take the CD or floppy disk back. And that's how you got your software because the
floppy
internet.
Disk, really you're showing your age, floppy disk.
I know I am, but you asked
yeah,
and I'm giving
it's a great story.
I'm giving you the down and dirty. So this was in 1992. And so I walked into Egghead Software and I said, what do you have for small business accounting? I've only worked in big business accounting. The guy behind the counter, don't remember his name, handed me the green box, the QuickBooks box. And QuickBooks had been on the market maybe 2 weeks. Literally, it had just come out. Everyone was using Quicken to try to run their business. And Intuit had just launched QuickBooks. And that's the one the guy happened to hand me. He could have handed me another box and I don't know where my life would have gone, but he handed me the green box. So that's what I started with. And suddenly the whole world was switching to QuickBooks and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And so CPAs were getting my name. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, this girl knows QuickBooks. And so I was just getting one client after another, after another, after another, after another, helping them implement it and train them on it. And so it kind of was a fork in the road. I either needed to pursue teaching in the public school environment or go after this business. And so I thought, well, I can always go back to teaching if the business thing doesn't work out. So I think I'm going to try this. That's how I started in the industry. Over the years, I just got very involved with Intuit. They asked me to write their certification training for their professional advisor program. So those are people that want to get certified in QuickBooks and be able to hold themselves out as an expert to the public at large. I wrote all the original training courses and tests for Intuit, basically took it from a blank sheet of paper to full on 16 credit hours with tests. So I guess my teaching background came in handy after all, but yeah, just in a different capacity. And then in the HVAC space, I was working with a franchise that was part of the Dwyer Group, and they had an HVAC division or franchise. And I did a lot of work with that group because we do a lot of work in just the overall franchise space. And that particular group happened to be an HVAC franchise. Someone from that group left there and came to Service Nation. Yeah. And they gave my name to you and you guys reached out to me and the rest is history.
Yeah.
And we have since now HVAC probably represents, I want to say maybe 30% of our overall population of business clients that we have out of thousands and thousands of clients that we service every year. They're probably close to 30%.
Wow. That's awesome. You're a valued partner of Service Nation for sure. People just say all the time about what a great company you guys are and how you've helped them out. So talk to me about what you guys do. Like, what would be a typical scenario for you working with a heating and air conditioning or plumbing contractor?
Generally, an HVAC client will come to us. You know, they might become a new member of Service Nation Alliance. They get our name and we start with them by taking a look at their financials and just what is the state of their books? Are they up to date? Are they behind? Are they doing things incorrectly? You know, what's their financial health? Not are the numbers good or bad, meaning are they profitable or not? We're not really looking at it with that lens at that moment. When we start with a client, we're always looking at structure. Are your books set up properly? Do you have a good chart of accounts to use? I worked real closely with your group, with Vicki LaPlante and some others in your group, Bob Veering, to really hone in on what is a good chart of accounts that should be used in this industry. And so we look at how the company is set up relative to where we think they should be set up, because the chart of accounts drives what the financial statements are going to provide. So if they're a mess, the financials are going to be a mess. So we start really there. Do they have a good foundation? Are they tracking things by line of business? Because what we've learned in the HVAC space, what you guys have taught us, is that each line of business has very different margins. If you're doing installs versus maintenance agreements, those are very different margins. And so the marketing is different for each of those areas and the gross profit is different and the decisions you make are different based on what line of business. So we make sure that people are positioned to be able to track things even beyond their financial statements down to the different division level. Gross profitability. That's our pie in the sky, right? So we start with, do you even just have solid books? Do you even have a solid profit and loss and balance sheet that you can run that accurately represents your financial condition? Good or bad? Is it existent? If it's not, then we work with them on a project basis to get things caught up, get things reconciled, get things tied out to a tax return, you know, so that we know we have good numbers moving forward as our jumping off point. Once we get them there, then we can talk about, do you need help with monthly bookkeeping? Do you have the right resources in place to keep this up? Do you need to be trained? Are you doing things incorrectly? And then that's how we help people on a go forward. And then the coaching, like actually looking at the numbers and analyzing profitability, that seems more in line with all the things they get from your organization, from Service Nation and Service Roundtable. You guys have the AB groups and all those great resources for the members to be able to analyze the numbers. We're focused on providing the foundation so that it can go to the next level and be analyzed.
Right. It's the old garbage in, garbage out analogy, right? If you're putting bad numbers in, the analysis that you get back on the back end will be garbage as well.
Exactly. And so we feel like if we can enable your team to do your job, then we've done our job.
Yeah. Valuable stuff. That's fantastic. I overlooked part of what I wanted to ask you about in your background. We've covered what Out of the Box does, but what do you do at Out of the Box? Your title is Chief Strategy Officer. What does that mean? What do you do?
I'm always looking for the next opportunity where we can be of value and how we can leverage our existing resources to do more, how we can maybe take on new acquisitions that allow us to broaden our service base and really just working alongside the executive team to identify our goals and objectives and aligning our resources to be able to meet those goals and objectives through strategy and through execution.
Sounds like an interesting job. Do you enjoy it?
I love what I do. I have always loved what I do. It was the best decision I made to leave the corporate world and build something that I feel like we make such a difference with so many people. And to me, happy employees and happy customers is what it's all about. And that's what I work toward every day.
Yeah, it's a fantastic feeling when you have happy people working for you. You're making their lives better and you're making the customers' lives better. It's a win-win. It makes you feel terrific. Yeah. Well, congratulations. You've really built a great organization.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. You know, you've worked with now thousands of contractors. You've seen great companies. You've seen some that are not doing so well. So I wanted to ask you, what are some things that contractors overlook in their financial systems that they shouldn't?
So probably the number one thing is the balance sheet. Contractors and just business owners in general tend to be so focused on the profit and loss. That's like the only financial statement they look at.
Yeah.
And the profit and loss is a temporary, if you think about accounting, the profit and loss is what they call a temporary financial statement. Every year you get to wipe the slate clean and start over again at zero, right?
Yeah.
With how much revenue you've earned, what are your costs? If you have a bad year, at the end of the year, it's like you're at a chalkboard and you get to erase it all and start over the next year, and maybe it'll be a better year or a worse year. But that's only half the picture. The balance sheet is a permanent financial statement. That financial statement is going to follow you from the day you open your doors until the day you make your last sale and sell all your assets off. So that statement never goes away. It follows you forever for the life of your business. So what do you think sounds more important? Something that's permanent or something that's temporary?
Yeah, something that's permanent.
Right. And so the balance sheet reflects your accumulation of earnings or losses, which is essentially your yearly profit and loss. And that's what ends up in retained earnings or your equity of the company. But it also has so many hidden details around the true health of your company. Are you so overburdened with debt that you're not going to survive? You're not going to see that on a profit and loss. The only thing you're going to see in a profit and loss is your interest expense relative to debt. That balance sheet, those balances, if they're not right, you can't rely on the profit and loss. The profit and loss is only as good as the balance sheet is accurate. So when we meet with a client, the very first thing we do is say, when was your last tax return? If they say, okay, I just filed my 2022 tax return, then we're going to take that as gospel. We're going to reach out to the CPA. We're going to say, can we get a copy of that tax return? And we're going to look at what the balance sheet is on that tax return. And we're going to make sure that that QuickBooks file at the end of 2022 ties out to that tax return, because those become the beginning numbers for 2023. And we find mistakes all the time. And it's not the accountant's fault. It's usually, I don't want to say it's the business owner's fault, because they don't really know that there's a problem, but they don't tell the accountant, oh, I sold that asset, or I paid off that loan, or I whatever. And the accountant just takes the numbers as they're given and does the tax returns. So once we dig in and we start tying out and trying to get them moving forward in a good place, we end up finding mistakes and we're like, oh yeah, that credit card was paid off 2 years ago. Why is there still a balance on your balance sheet as showing as debt? Or wait a minute, you've got a cash account on here that was closed 3 years ago. Why is that still on the book? You didn't tell the accountant that you closed that bank account. So we're kind of in that middle spot of really trying to make sure that those numbers are good, because they're just going to keep causing problems if you don't address them. You can't just sweep them under the rug. They're not going to just go away. They're permanent.
So the balance sheet is an item that contractors overlook, and they shouldn't, and they should be a little more sophisticated about the balance sheet. Is that?
Yes. And so what we do when we're working with a client is we get things tied out to a tax return, and then we're looking at the current year. We're pulling up the financials in front of them with them on the phone, and we're going through that balance sheet, and we're saying, okay, this is how much cash you have. Okay, here's all your credit cards. So we're kind of like walking down the balance sheet with them, every single account, one at a time, to get their buy-in to say, is this real? Does this exist? Is this a good number? As we do that, the business owner begins to get confident in their numbers. They begin to see the importance of the balance sheet and what's on there and how it's affecting their current year income and why we're questioning it. They're involved in that discussion and that analysis and that review. And it's part of, you know, we encourage them every year before you turn it over to the accountant, schedule an hour long call with us. Let us go through every single number on your balance sheet with you so we can make sure that those numbers are correct, which will in turn make sure your profit and loss is correct before you just send off the numbers to the accountant. Could the accountant do that? Yes, absolutely. Their CPA can do that. The problem is when there's a problem in how to fix something that needs to be fixed in QuickBooks, the CPA isn't always equipped to be able to do that, but we are. So we want to fix it before it goes to the accountant, so the accountant isn't spinning their wheels questioning why there's negative assets or negative liabilities on the balance sheet. And that's just an education process. The other thing that contractors forget to do, and it's kind of related to the balance sheet again, is they forget to close their books every year. It's a 2-second process. Go in and put a closing date and lock it down with a password the minute you turn it over to the accountant. If you're telling your accountant, go ahead and prepare a tax return based on these numbers, you got to lock yourself down so you're not changing those numbers. Otherwise, you're never going to match the tax return and you're going to create this dysfunction again. So that's another thing that we educate people on right away. Okay, we got everything tied out. Let's lock it down so you don't accidentally void a check from 3 years ago or, you know, change an invoice amount from 3 years ago.
One of the things that when contractors talk to me about fraud, if somebody says, oh yeah, I lost a lot of money due to fraud last year, the first question I always ask them was it the bookkeeper? Because in my experience, most of the times it is. If they lost a lot of money due to fraud, it was the bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. So what kind of security and audit features do you recommend for QuickBooks and for the bookkeeper position?
So if you can create a little separation of duties, that's always a good thing. A lot
can
of small
explain
businesses.
What separation of duties means?
Sure. If you have enough people that you can divvy up the work. The problem is a lot of these contractors only have one bookkeeper. So that in and of itself kind of puts you at risk. But in a perfect world, if you had enough people to divvy up the responsibilities, you could maybe have one person that's posting customer payment and then a different person that's grouping them into bank deposits so that there's a check and a balance there. You could have one person managing receivables and another person managing accounts payable.
You could still lose money, but if you lost money, it would require that there was collaboration between two people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the other thing is you shouldn't have the same person that's writing the checks and making deposits doing your bank reconciliation and your credit card reconciliation. That should be a third party. And so a lot of businesses don't want to outsource that because they're like, well, my bookkeeper can do that. Yeah, it's not that it's a hard task, but you give somebody all the responsibility and you don't divvy it up. How are you going to ever catch if somebody's doing something that they shouldn't be? So I'll give you, I have a couple fun stories. They're not fun.
That's you do.
They're heartbreaking. But I had one client that found me on the internet looking for help on QuickBooks, hired me. I went into his office first thing I said, well, have you reconciled the bank account? He's like, no, I've never done that in QuickBooks. I'm like, okay, we need to do that. That's like, cash is king, right? Like there's a lot of things that go through cash. We need to make sure that that's accurate. And so he gave me the bank statements for the current year. I locked myself in a room. I started working on it, you know, tied out to the tax return, started moving forward. And I started seeing that there'd be a check on the bank statement listed, but the check was missing from QuickBooks. So let's say it was a check for $100 was missing. It wasn't recorded in QuickBooks, but it was on the bank statement. I couldn't see who the check was made out to. I just saw, you know, check number 1234 for $100. But then I'd find another check in QuickBooks that was $100 more than what the check was written for on the bank statement. So it was almost like a balancing act, right? One check's missing, but another check is $100 more than it should have been in QuickBooks. So I stopped what I was doing. I called the owner into the room and I said, this is what I'm seeing. It looks weird. You know, it's too coincidental. I'm seeing it a couple times now. And his face turned red and he said, I know exactly what happened. He said, I know who's doing it. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's my mom.
Oh no.
She's working at the company and she's taking money out of my account. Oh, and she's changing other checks for the amount she's taking out so that she doesn't bounce checks. You know, she's still trying to keep track of the cash balance in QuickBooks, but she's not being honest about how it's coming out. And so we took that responsibility away from her and she no longer had the ability to sign checks. So that's a big deal.
That must have been an awkward mom conversation.
I wasn't in the room for that conversation. I was just the bearer of bad news. But I did have to be with her after that. You know, she'd see me come in once a month and reconcile the checkbook. So she knew I was looking over her shoulder. So I think the threat of just me being there kind of helped nip it in the bud. I had another situation where I had a really busy attorney who the CPA had sent me in to train the bookkeeper. It was actually like a legal assistant that was going to be doing the bookkeeping. And so they wanted me to set them all up on QuickBooks and train this legal assistant to do the monthly bookkeeping. You know, it wasn't her line of work, but, you know, it was easy enough. I could train her how to do it. So I got everything set up. I trained her how to do it. And at the end of the year, I'd come back and kind of just make sure everything was buttoned up before it would go to the CPA. A couple years in a row, I'm like, okay, I see that you posted all these payments against credit cards, liabilities, but I don't see that you've ever reconciled the credit cards. There's no purchases in here, just a bunch of payments to credit cards, but I don't know what you're purchasing. And so her comment was, well, the attorney won't give me the credit card statements because she puts a lot of personal stuff on it. So she doesn't want me to see it. Well, that kind of made sense. I'm like, okay, well, you better let the CPA know before they write the tax return that they're missing, that information isn't available. So that went on for a couple of years. And the attorney was losing a bunch of money. And finally, the CPA raised a stink and said, I have to see those credit card statements. And what they found out is those payments that were going out to the credit cards were paying this assistant's own personal credit cards, not the attorney's credit cards.
Oh, no.
Okay. And so she had stole probably, I don't know, $800,000 over the course of a few years.
Oh my gosh. Incredible.
And yeah. And so, I mean, desperate people do desperate things and they find creative ways to do it. And so again, it goes back to the balance sheet. Had someone been reconciling that credit card and validating that's their card and that's their balance every single month, that would have been caught in 2 seconds. And while I can raise the awareness, I can't make them do something.
Yeah.
So it's great to have a bookkeeper you can trust. And it does give you that level of freedom to feel like, okay, I can focus on going out and selling more and growing my business. But you can't be so hands off that you don't know what's going on. So I recommend, you know, pick one day a week that is your office day that you go through the numbers with your bookkeeper. Every single one. Make sure that you can validate the cash is correct, that your credit card balances are correct, that your loans, you know, a lot of times bookkeepers won't pay payroll taxes because they're taking money, or they'll call in wages to a payroll service that they didn't earn. But because the owner doesn't review payroll before it goes out the door, they don't even know that they're overpaying their bookkeeper. I've seen that happen. Right? The bookkeeper's in charge of processing payroll. Yeah. So they just add more hours to their paycheck.
Yeah, and one I've heard of fairly commonly is that the bookkeeper sets up fake vendors, writes checks to them, and then the checks actually go to the bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm. And so the easy way to check for that is have those bank statements sent to your home, not to the office, and work with a bank that lets you see copies of all the checks written.
Go through all the checks that are written every month, make sure
that they're made out to who. You know, if you see a bunch of checks written out to your bookkeeper, don't you think you'd question it?
Yeah. Or to vendor partners that I don't know who they are.
Exactly. A business owner knows who their vendors are. Okay. So they would be able to quickly look through all the checks that left their company. The other thing is there's really cool software that can sit on top of QuickBooks that you can use for accounts payable management and to physically issue payments to vendors. And you can set up workflows that there's a review and approval process that an owner can be part of. You can't just turn everything over to the bookkeeper and let them pay all the bills, enter all the bills, pay all the bills, call in payroll, process payroll, reconcile the bank account. That's crazy. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I think people do it because it's an area that they're not comfortable with, right? They're comfortable with the other aspects of the business, maybe the technical side of the business. They're uncomfortable with accounting, and you just got to set up a few points of control, right?
Yeah, and separation of duties. The easiest start is have your bank and credit cards mailed to your home.
Good advice.
Because out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. If everything just gets mailed to the office and you never see it and it's open and processed and filed away by that bookkeeper, when are you going to? I mean, I get my credit card statement every month. I open it up. I look down and make sure every single charge on there looks like something I did. And I've caught fraud and had to cancel my card before. So if you don't look, you're not going to know.
Same thing with your checking account, right? Make sure you get the statement every month, go through every check that was written, make sure it makes sense. And then I guess what you were suggesting on the other side was that software that a check can't be cut until an owner approves it. Is that right?
Yeah. And just set the policy that you sign all the checks that go out.
Yeah.
Or put require two signatures on a check if you have to give somebody else an authority, but make it somebody that's not the bookkeeper. You've got to have separation. You cannot have one person doing everything. Even though that person might be qualified, bookkeepers get a little miffed when they don't get to do their own bank reconciliations. It's not that they can't do it. You just don't want them doing it. It's not good practice to do that. It's like leaving a 2-year-old alone in a room where they can just get into trouble. Nobody's watching over. It's just not a good idea.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, most bookkeepers are perfectly honest. But as you said, desperate people will do desperate things. And the one thing, and I remember one of our members who lost, if I remember correctly, $250,000 over 3 years. And that was just the stuff that they could catch. I was asking about it. And the first thing he said was, we thought we could trust her. You know, we trusted her. And of course, that's how we are. You want to be able to trust people. But as much as you trust people, you just have to have policies and procedures in place to make sure that you don't get ripped off. Just makes sense.
You can't leave them alone, and you shouldn't leave them alone. You should be looking at those numbers and making sure they make sense to you. I look at my numbers every day. And if you don't understand the numbers, we can teach you how to look at them So I did a session at the Service World Expo event that just passed. I taught people about the financial statements, you know, how to read them. What does the balance sheet mean? Because a lot of people just get nervous about the balance sheet. They're like, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. So I spent time training people on that. And then we did a little group exercise and people participated in actually being part of the financials. And then we taught them break even. And people were like, oh my gosh, that's so easy. And it's not hard if you're organized and if someone trains you. So I think people are trainable. They just need to make the commitment to do it. And they have to know that it's important. I think that's the thing. A lot of contractors don't value the power of the financial statement. They think of it as a necessary evil. Oh, I have to do it because I got to do a tax return. I have to do it because I got to have my numbers for the dashboard. It's more than that. It's the report card of your business. And it is going to tell the truth whether things are going well or not. It is really the only benchmark you have. So if you don't value the work that goes into producing financials, you're not going to be a good business owner because it does take skill. It's not something you can just train anybody to do. That's why people get degrees in accounting. That's why they go to school for 4 years to learn how to do it. It's not easy and it's not for everybody. And you can't just take a receptionist and turn them into a full-fledged, full-on bookkeeper that's doing everything and assume that they're going to do it right. You can certainly train them, but it is a discipline. So you don't go to an eye doctor and just assume that he's a ear, nose, and throat specialist. You don't go to a dentist and assume that he's an internist. So I think people undervalue accounting because it's not sexy. It's not a fun industry like HVAC, right?
But it is really, really important. And you guys do a great job helping people out with it. So, you know, fortunately, you guys are around for that. So with that, if somebody wanted to get hold of Out of the Box and get some help with their financial system, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Our website is outoftheboxtechnology.com. So that's got a way to contact us, our phone number, all our contact info there. We have a dedicated rep on our side, Jennifer Abney. They could email her directly. She's the liaison with the Service Roundtable Service Nation Group. It's Jennifer, Jennifer.Abney, A-B-N-E-Y. At outoftheboxtechnology.com. Those are probably the two simplest way. If you identify that you're from this group and you just go to the website and reach out or call and you identify that you're Service Roundtable, Service Nation, you're going to end up with Jennifer anyway. So even if you don't know her email, if you just identify who you are, we'll know who to route. We have a relatively large consulting team. We have over 75 employees, all with different skill sets that do different things. So depending on what the problem is or what the nature of the call is about, Jennifer will make sure that that person gets aligned with the right resource. So that's the easiest way. Just go to the website. You don't have to remember anything but our name, and then you can get connected with us.
Outoftheboxtechnology.com. Got it. So, Lisa, thank you so much for doing this. It has been an instructive time. You're so smart. You've done so much for contractors. So I just wanted to say thanks a lot for doing this with me. I really appreciate it.
No problem, David. I truly love your group. I'm very passionate about the contractor space, and we've gained so many valuable relationships from working with you guys. You've just been an incredible group, and one that I told the leadership team I'm not giving up any responsibility for. I love this group and I want to continue to be involved with this line of business, you know, as long as I'm part of Out of the Box. So I really appreciate all that you've done for us as well.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so kind of you.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.